Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. We are talking all things lottery ticket picks. Those picks that we're looking at the back end of our drafts that might be able to help complete our teams. Not so much your Tom Mitchells and Lachie Neils, but guys that could be possible Angus Brayshaw this year because there's a bit of stank on him. Those going rounds 18, 19, 20. They're not going to cost you anything, but they could pop and give you something to help you win your leagues this year. And to help us do that, as always, is the man from Western Victoria in his man cave, is Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, Jono. Aside from the fact that the Royal Rumble's on tomorrow, although when this gets released, it'll be 2 days in the past. but as far as I'm aware, the names have been drawn out. The wrestlers are assigned. Oh, I haven't seen a post yet. What's going on? The league is...
Check your Facebook. It is on the league on page on Facebook. Yeah. It is.
Well, I'm still angry.
Well, you asked for a jobber, and as league commissioner, you asked for a jobber, and as league commissioner, I'm muchly obliged and got you a jobber.
Apparently, you've also given about 7 other people jobbers.
There's a lot of jobbers in the Royal Rumble.
bad Rumble vibes.
Oh, yeah. So, Sami Zayn, that's your pick.
Sami Zayn.
So you're in line, I would say, anywhere between 5 and 10.
I'm looking forward to Sami Zayn coming in as entrant 27.
And winning the Rumble. Yeah. And the man from Queensland who's doing a kick-ass job putting the kit together, which may or may not be out when this pod is released. Cam McLaughlin.
Hey, Sami Zayn is going to come in at pick 3 and be out by number 4. Straight over the top rope.
Perfect.
Yeah, useless.
Nah, they like him. He's got a bit of shtick about him, so he'll hang around.
Is he the guitar guy? Around. Is that him? No?
No. Sami Zayn's all right. He's all right.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Coming up to... Would have been on Monday.
Who did you get, Jono?
Who did I get? I got Sheamus.
Wants Sheamus.
The pasty Irishman.
Jeez.
God, he's just blinds you when he walks in the ring, doesn't he?
So there's a good chance I'm getting a high pick. Yikes. I don't know if I want a high pick this year. Using the mock simulator already, I've done a draft in all various positions. I think mid to late rounds is the way to go, but
I'm feeling you. I reckon round first is awful. Really hard pick this year.
I don't think it's bad because we play Supercoach in our home league, so locking up Max Gorn, captain's on, that can't be bad. But we also draft Bonsai, so that late pick, you get that early third rounder as well.
Especially even a strategy with forwards and stuff, I don't know where to stack mids or defenders, punt defenders. It's, I don't know. Listeners, send us the tweets if you are mocking. Tell us what your strats are so we can have a bit of a play around and give us an idea. It'd be great.
Hashtag punt mids.
Not so much in Supercoach. It's not like AFL Fantasy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, let's talk all things lottery ticket picks. Cam, why don't you kick us off with your first lottery ticket?
Okay, so cast your mind back when DOS was still on the show. I know it seems like a long time ago, but Braden Fiorini was every second word that came out of his mouth. And as soon as he disappeared from the pod, so did Fiorini from the Suns' best 22. Is it a coincidence? I don't think so. But realistically, Fiorini has some of the best fantasy chops in the game when he's playing in the middle, a position he played throughout his career. And then last year, gentlemen, he started in defense. For the first game of the year, he started in defense. He ended up with a BCV ton in your AFL fantasy format and pretty serviceable in Supercoach as well. But there was some concern because you had Matt Rowell and Noah Anderson and all those guys who were coming in. There was some concern as to whether or not he was still seen as a midfielder at the Suns and whether or not he still had that ceiling. Well, I did some digging and I found the answer in the Gold Coast Bulletin, which is a newspaper which I'm sure you're both aware of, where Suns manager John Haynes said that He only played in defense in round one to cover a hole because Pierce Hanley, Jared Harbrow, Rory Thompson, Charlie Ballard were all missing in round one. And he said he's definitely going to play in the mid in round two. And then there was about a 60-month break between round one and round two, and he did actually play in the guts in round two. He pumped out a BCV 90 in your AFL fantasy format, so still pretty serviceable. But he also copped an injury in that game. Okay, so if you think about like the different stints and time that he missed, my assumption going into even writing this was actually he just wasn't best 22 anymore and he was in and out of the team. But he was actually in and out of the team because of injury for the rest of the year. And look, it probably didn't help that the rest of the team was performing pretty well and it would have made it hard to come back in, but it was actually just he was injured a lot of the time. That series of unfortunate events has led him and misled coaches the country over, thinking that he's become a fringe player at the Suns. And I think it's completely wrong. I think he's going to go undrafted in a lot of leagues. At the moment, his current ADP on the mock site is 267. And I think it's a lottery ticket worth purchasing.
Good thing Doss isn't on the show because this reply would go for about half an hour. Honestly, it would have to be an Amy series watch. I know there's only the one game and the fixture's been released. I'm just trying to work out who they're playing. But I'd say if he's in that team, he's in the round one team. Because with only one game and like a scratch match before that, it's full dress rehearsal, you would think.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Like, he did. Even his preseason was interrupted last year, so I don't really have a problem with it. Where it's hard for me to get around Fiorini is, I think people have gone past him at this point. Like, you've got a year of Anderson under your belt. You've got a year of, you've got some games of Matt Rowe, but he ain't going anywhere. You've got Took Miller's best season. You've developed Lemons as a tagger. Ellis is still very serviceable. Hugh Greenwood's put together his best year. So if Fiorini's in the team, and he probably is, he's coming off the bench, which is fine. And I think when you get later in your AFL fantasy drafts, and this is probably something I've noticed a lot, the mids are so deep. Like, they are really deep. And he's not a super coach player, so he's really not relevant for me in that format. So if I'm going against other mids, I just prefer other ones. I like the pick, though.
Yeah, okay. What about an AFL fantasy, though?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think it's hard to get around him because there's so many guys late. So, you know, like Joel Selwood's in the 200s. Seb Ross is undrafted. Like, there's name players who are undrafted.
Sean Higgins, I think, is getting pretty deep in there as
well. So I think the difference between, like, a Selwood and a, you know, a Fiorini, though, is you know what you're going to get from Selwood, whereas it's a decline year on year. He's probably pumping out a 70-ish. Fiorini could go 100. Like,
I don't think he can.
Okay.
So I think he's probably more sort of like a low 90s at best. And
yeah,
if you look at where the mids are, I'm not taking a mid because I'll be able to find that guy on the waivers most weeks.
Yeah, okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah, look, if you like Fiorini, I don't have a problem with it. Like, yeah. If you pick him, good for you. That's fine. He's fine.
Would you say he's a lottery ticket?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. Three Liberty Bells. Okay, cool.
You got to remove that thumb, Cam. You got to remove that thumb.
All right, Steve, run us through your first lottery ticket pick.
So I'll go with the superior Gold Coast talent in Noah Anderson. And I'm such a huge fan of Noah Anderson. And I think he's a awesome buy in keeper leagues at the minute. And I think he's a massive talent and really had one of the most underrated debut seasons ever, because it just seemed like there was a guy popping for a stretch. Like, Rao came out, popped hard for five games, and Serong popped for a stretch of games, etc. But his numbers were amazing last year, especially the end to the season. So in his last six games, there was an injury game, so I'm just going to discount that. The other five games, all 20 plus disposals, an adjusted 91.5 dream team, 106 super coach. I sense massive Jack McRae vibes. This is a wingman who can win the contested ball, which is what I want in my wingers, because there's balls, there's you know, stoppages on the wing. You still have to win the contested ball out there. He was getting of his 16.5 disposals that he averaged, and that's not adjusted, by the way. He's averaging over 7 contested possessions a game. That is really, really strong for a wing. That's more than Andrew Gaff last year. That's right there with Hugh McCluggage. Like, they are seasoned players that he's able to compete with. Number 2 pick for a reason. His ADPs were 199 in AFL Fantasy, 171 in Supercoach, so not as late as Cam, but these are around 18 and 20 picks in a 10-team league. Again, I understand it's a hard sell in AFL Fantasy to be picking a midfielder that late, and I really tried to not go for a midfielder. I really wanted to go for a forward, but I really believe in Noah Anderson and our Gold Coast Suns as they march towards probably the minor premiership, if we're being conservative, and just what he can do on the park. Well, I just think he's a great pick.
No, all for Anderson, as you said. I think it was that last 5 or 6 games, he absolutely smashed it. I don't know if there was an interesting. I don't think Brandon Ellis or anything was injured. I think he just got the more mid time. I think the season was cooked, and just go play footy, mate. And yeah, he killed it. And big call on the Jack McRae breakout second season.
Well, the one thing that gives me pause is that, and it's going to be the same thing with all second season players who aren't named Matt Rowell, is that you're talking about someone who's come into the system and had what they dealt with at the start of last year in terms of playing a game and then being away from footy for several weeks. And then this season, although the second year players will have had come back earlier, maybe it's an advantage because they're dealing with something that you know, they don't expect anything. This is what they know, but I don't think it's good for their I can't imagine it's great for your fitness base and all that sort of stuff.
Even just body, like games in your body, right? Like the maximum anyone got out of last year was, what, 16? Unless you played finals, which the Suns didn't, you know, generally you'd get 23 in. Like, I think even from a development perspective, it's hard.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's an advantage. They didn't get blown out over 22.
Yeah, I think during that...
That's narrative street period, we're driving down.
I think during that lockdown period, they actually had to change up the way they trained, if that makes sense. Like, normally you train endurance. This was more sprint type running and that. So, be interesting to see what happens again in 2021. All right, my first lottery pick. He's actually pretty good. One of our favourite players to actually own, because no one actually owns this guy. For some reason, there's a bit of stank about him. It's Robbie Tarrant. Now, the last couple of years in Supercoach, he's averaged 86, and he went the 73 this year in AFL Fantasy. So that's a D3, D4 guy who's just not getting drafted whatsoever. His ADP is about 180 in both formats at the moment, especially last year. Wasn't even picked up. I'm going to talk about myself here, Steve, because you don't like it. Picked him off the waiver wire. Banged out 5 Supercoach tons in that time. Also an AFL Fantasy, hit the AFL Fantasy ton and a couple of 90s BCV. So has that scoring power there. And I think it's people look at him as a lockdown defender and they just don't want that in their teams. They see a lockdown defender, it's going to be a 40-point score each and every week. But his floor is actually not too bad. It's about 65-70, which is probably what you want there for your defender. And with the changes at North Melbourne, they basically delisted the whole defence except for Luke McDonald and Robbie Tarrant. And they've got young guys in there like Ben McKay, and they've got in Aiden Corr. So they could be the two types who... Ben McKay certainly plays the lockdown defender, and Corr maybe plays as that other lockdown defender, whereas Tarrant was just playing the loose man, essentially, intercepting and running to help out opponents, which we've seen Alex Rance do in previous years. And I'm not saying Tarrant's Alex Rance, but he plays that similar role. So the scoring power is there, and I'm all for Robbie Tarrant there as that lottery ticket pick who's going to bang out 85 each and every week with the occasional ton thrown in there.
Yeah, I mean, if I was trying to draft the AFL equivalent of Sheamus or the 2021 Matthew Broadbent, who I could find on the waiver every week, I'd look strongly at Robbie Tarrant.
And that's what he's always been like. If you've ever
been that. He used to be fucking injured every week. That's what he used to
be. But also, the last probably 2 years, in the late week pickups, I've used him as a massive stream guy. He's always been that stream against certain opponents. But last 2 years, especially Supercoach, he's actually been rosterable.
As far as lottery tickets go, is he sort of like the $2 scratchy?
Dollar?
Yeah.
Even a 50 cent one?
And then you still do the 50 cent. You get the dollar back and you're like, yeah. I don't feel good about it.
Double down. He's the dollar back. Double down.
Yeah, dollar back.
Excellent. Cam, give us your second lottery ticket pick, please.
Very good, and I'm definitely ready for this one, boys. So James Rowbottom, the third year breakout contender. You hear it all the time. Everyone talks about third year breakouts, and everyone seems to get pretty hype about it. But a player that's really fallen off the radar is James Rowbottom, and he's getting drafted all the way back at 312 ADP on the mock site. Played a truckload of midfield last year and actually had, you know, Steve, you'd probably say you like a mid who gets ball on the inside and outside and can win it in both places, and he absolutely does. He ended up with about 50-50 split between contested and uncontested possessions. Really good kick-to-handball ratio of about 50-50 as well. And he's averaged 5 tackles a game. So he can find the ball, he gets it on the inside, gets it on the outside, and he knows how to kick the ball. All really good qualities, and can absolutely get a hug when he wants to. I think, from my perspective, the big question is around Tank. I watched a fair bit of Swans games last year, and he sort of looks to get pretty tired pretty quickly. But another year under his belt, another preseason under his belt. The Swans literally have no one else there. The only other person who, from a midfield perspective, you'd be considering to take his spot would be someone like a George Hewitt coming back. He was injured all last year. If he's right this year, he might slot straight back in. But he's the type of player that they want to get games in. I totally think that, you know, if you're picking him up as your last pick in draft, there's an opportunity for him to go in the 90s.
I have no interest in James Rowbottom whatsoever.
Seems consensus, actually, Jono.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I'm a little bit more excited as well, because it's not someone that I'm going to have to, you know, there's no hype around the guy. You can literally just wait until your last pick and grab him.
Still too early.
Ooh. Waiver wire at best.
Again, the hard sell is he's a midfielder only. What's he going to do? His time on ground was piss last year.
Yeah, and that's that Tank question, right? But see how we go. I think there's maybe enough opportunity at the Swans for them to do something different.
Bloody horse Longmire. Who the fuck
knows? Yeah, good luck getting something different out of John Longmire.
I don't know.
Boys, we're going to lock it down.
I think I'm still going to draft him. As a mid only, I still think it's a half-decent pick. And again, you throw him on the waiver if it doesn't work. But if in the Amy series he comes out and brains it, man. But then he goes up the ADP.
If we're in a keeper league, I'm all for him. I like Rowbottom. I just...
Not this year?
I think he's pretty capped this year with the other boys there. And
Who?
Kennedy and Parker rule the inside. And they don't really have a strong outside game.
Isn't there 3 players at a stoppage, Steve?
Yeah, but I'm saying internal competition makes it hard for him to really realise that potential.
Oh, you reckon that, as in the other two will always get the clearance and he's...
Not so much, but that third spot, there's lots more internal competition for the mouths to feed.
I just think they're fucking guns, man. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
like when Kennedy moves on, holy hell, get around it. But
yeah. We'll see.
All right, Steve. Give us your second lottery ticket pick, please.
So James Harms, listed as a defender, quite buried with an absolutely piss-poor average of About 62 AFL Fantasy adjusted, 64 Supercoach. On the mock draft simulator, which you can go to, that's something something mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. He's yeah, definitely go there, play around with it. You can have a couple drafts every day for free, but we really appreciate the support, especially with Baby Fizz 2 Electric Boogaloo coming along. ADP of 173 in AFL Fantasy, 195 in Supercoach. And I think that's actually going to shoot right up. So as he starts to play some preseason matches, he's training with the mids. We've seen him score well in the midfield. Not just one season ago, he averaged 94 AFL Fantasy and 95 Supercoach. And even the season before, playing as a mid forward, averaged 83 AFL Fantasy and 83 Supercoach. So he's certainly relevant in the mid forward role and has got a defensive side to the game. The halfback experiment absolutely failed, was no good for the D's. They've sent Jaden Hunt back there, who actually, he's listed as a forward. He's going to be playing in defence, might have some appeal, might be a reasonable lottery ticket with the forwards being pretty thin this year. Jack Viney just had minor foot surgery. Angus Brayshaw just had foot surgery in the off-season. He's slowly coming back, so bit of issues with the midfielders there at Demon Land. The longer quarters, does it result in Christian Petrarca resting forward when he's not absolutely braining it in the midfield? Certainly, potentially. We've seen James Harms score well in there before. He looks good when he's playing midfield. He looks good with the ball. I've got no doubts that he's going to be a great defender pick for us in 2021.
Yeah, I've got no qualms about James Harms there. So yeah, Gus Brayshaw was the other one. Like, I didn't know he had the foot surgery, but where does he play? Like, you've got, he's cooked. He really is cooked and undraftable, you would think.
I don't know, man. Like, speaking of mouths to feed, I think the benefit for Harms, right, is the DPP. If he wasn't DPP, he's basically useless. But
no, he's basically James Rowbottom.
Hey. Oi, no, we right. should have a bet, Rowbottom versus Harms.
Oh, can we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm good.
You're in.
Yeah, I'm in. What are we betting?
Six-pack?
Naming rights six for the first child or the second child.
Six-pack. Oh, my goodness.
I don't even get naming rights. I've lost naming rights somehow.
What's number one name at the moment being floated?
Well, we've already got the Christian name. That's sorted.
Oh.
Zoe chose that years ago.
So
we're onto middle name.
James Rowbottom?
It's close. It's Rosie. Rosie is the Christian name, so a bit of Rowbottom action.
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. It's a girl.
Oh, yeah, it's a girl. Jesus. I can't. Yeah, there can't be another man. I can't compete with that. I can't be the inferior Fizz.
Male Fizz. Out of the womb anyway. Just Alpha's Steve.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, my final.
Sorry, the only problem with Harms is, like I said, his ADP will probably shoot up once people see him playing in the midfield. Sorry, that's why it's maybe a shitty pick for the show.
It's fine. Well, my pick after the news comes out of what happened today is Nick Blakey for Sydney Swans, old lizard neck himself, and lizards do not slither, Cam.
They do not slither. I agree. What the?
Yep.
The hell is that?
Who said they slither?
Doss.
Oh, well.
Blakey slithered into the midfield. Quote.
Oh, my goodness.
What the fuck are you doing?
See, I would have put that down to Stato. That feels more like a Stato. Sort of.
Stato's would have been like... Nat Blakely. Yeah.
Oh, shit. ADP of 196 in Supercoach, 211 in AFL Fantasy. As the news did come out the other day, he was playing on the wing. Horace Longmire threw him out there on the wing in the pracking match. And we did see him in 2020, late in the season, play on the wing, and actually was pretty good. Blakey came out on the news, said he's increased his fitness and his endurance, because Horace does want him to play there, but also help run back help out with the defense. So if that's the case and he's playing wings, we saw him score not too bad. I think it was 80s and 90s when he was there. But if he's helping out the defense as well, there's a big chance there for intercept marks. Supercoach, that is massive points there as well. And plus sixes for your AFL fantasy as well. So Nick Blakey might get that bit of hype, as Steve said, but I still think you're going to be able to pick him up pretty late in your drafts. Buried averages of 50s and 40s, so big bit of bang for your buck in that forward line. Buddy Franklin coming back. Does Tom McCartan play? Or
yeah, he plays back.
He will play back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to have Callum Sinclair and Hickey if they do go the two ruck system. They're going to be forwards, you would think, resting forwards there. Maybe Hickey more on the bench, and that just frees Blakey to do whatever the hell he wants in the ring. So I'm pretty excited about him
actually
this year.
Tom McCartan will be a great late Supercoach pick.
Yeah. It depends. I didn't see a lot of him last year. Was it just playing as a loose man there, or was it actually...
No, well, he spent most of the time forward, but when he pushes back, he just... Yeah, he's loose. He's good.
Just clunks everything.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a spot there for him.
Yeah, well, there you are. Tom McCartan is a bonus, a little extra feature. Don't say we don't give you anything on this show. Mm.
Do you have any other picks, boys? Do you have any... I like Blakey, by the way. But definitely more of a Supercoach player, it feels like.
I did have James Harms. I was sort of iffy. That's why I didn't pick him. Tom Green? Or is there too much heat on him?
I think there's too many mids. Like this is kind of... I really wanted to pick a forward, but it was like I was looking at... I think Handsome Tom's a great late AFL fantasy pick. He's probably going a bit too early for the show in Supercoach. Same with Cam Rayner. But what the fuck happened to Seb Ross? Like, he's undrafted in redraft leagues.
Yeah.
Is he St Kilda's Fiorini?
Yes.
Unless... Fuck. Well, I suppose you can't even deploy him on the half back line because they've got guns all over that place.
Half backs.
Yeah. Is he Devin? He's not really a tackler, so he's not Devin Smith, a poor man Devin Smith either.
It's like Dyson Heppel.
But worse. Jordan Clark. Possibility is him as a lottery ticket pick. I've got a little bit of interest in him if he does get a nice little cushy role there as well. That was some of the guys that I had there.
Yeah. I think for me, Josh Battle. He's getting drafted at 208 at the moment. Feels pretty.
Really? Yeah. I thought he's getting higher than
that. I don't think he's done anything to warrant a higher selection, though.
Yeah. So I think he's 154 in Supercoach, but 200 in AFL Fantasy, and he could be pretty serviceable. Isaac Cummings still going really, really late in both formats, 204.
Because everyone knows it's Ash season.
Well. Give me 2 seconds.
He's free. Free, I tells you.
Isaac Cumming. Lockie Ash probably isn't getting even picked up.
Lockie Ash.
Even registered an ADP.
He does not register an ADP in Supercoach.
Bargain pick.
Bargain. Absolute bargain. And to be honest, I think Angus Brayshaw, like what you said at the top of the show, he's like the ultimate lottery pick.
Like, I was looking at Jack Redden, and I'm like, but there's 80,000 mids. I'll pick in round 20 in front of him.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Like, again, the punt mids is severe this year.
Oh, fuck, punt mids is real.
Yeah, it's very real.
Also, me in the first four rounds. Mids!
It's that FOMO. Gotta get a good one. And that's the thing with their home leagues, Steve, is they all love the mids and just hoard them.
I can't blame them. I'm one of them.
We all do it.
Yeah. On the day you're like, the day before, I'm going to pick up a forward, and then I'm going to pick up a mid, and then I'm going to pick up another forward, and then another mid. And then on the day, mid.
This is the... I was talking to Costa just before, Jono, the reigning... Oh, fuck, dual champion at home league. And the problem is you look at the forwards, right? And they just run thin so quick, right? Like, they dry up really quickly. But if you look at all the top guys, they all have massive question marks.
Would you have a question on Dusty?
Well, he's not really primo return. Like, if you draft Dusty, say, the first round or second round, you really need to pair him with someone you can captain, because you can't captain Dusty.
Oh, shit, no. Shit, no.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, he's probably the safe one, but...
I reckon Dunkley is safe. I know that's a stretch, but I feel Dunkley is safe. And Sidey apparently has been training a bit with the forwards, so there's a bit of a question mark there.
See, I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like they're doing a mini rebuild, Collingwood.
Always works well.
Yeah.
Always works well.
Well, I mean, Bucks is gone finally after this year, right?
Are you bringing the shirts back?
You'd hate to, you know, you wouldn't want to kick a bloke when he's about to get sacked, Cam.
Oh, he already did get sacked from his wife. Too soon?
Ooh.
Too soon.
Got 7 shirts on pre-order.
Yeah.
Could you have like the 3 best friends club and have Hardwick, Goodwin, and Buckley?
Oh my God.
Sorry for bringing us here.
So, if you've got nothing to do, head to mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. $9. Unlimited drafting. 2 free a day.
How much was that, Jono?
$9.
Whoa.
Bargain. Shit, yeah.
And the shit, yeah. And the draft kit should be out by the time this pod launches if Doss hurries up and puts his ranks in the document.
And finishes his Carlton team.
He's done it. I think it's all done. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I can do his checklist then. Excellent. So Wednesday when the show pops, hopefully the kit will be out to buy that, because, hey, guess what? It's probably the only kit out there this year because no one else is doing one. So you do need something to read. Please buy. Steve needs it for Baby Fizz.
Oh, I really need it for NBA Top Shot, to be honest. Digging a hole, people.
And Barnacle Bill. And Barnacle Bill stocks.
Oh, yeah. Barnacle Bill stocks. That'll go well.
All right. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on the Twitters and Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.